Our last, if you have your outline there, we've got some blank lines on there if you want to fill it in there. In our last four lessons, we have looked at James' examination of three witnesses. Okay? So last four lessons, we've looked at these three witnesses as he makes his case for true faith naturally producing works. Okay? And listen, folks, if you don't get anything else from these series on faith and works, it's as simple as this. Real faith, true faith, will produce works. It's that simple. You squeeze an orange, you don't get apple juice. You get orange juice. And listen, real Christians will do things for God. It's just that simple, folks, okay? So he makes his case here by calling these three witnesses. And so far he has called, the first one he called was Brother Warmed and Filled. Remember Brother Warmed and Filled? Somebody came to his house, a brother or sister, literally on his doorstep. It doesn't say winter time. It doesn't say when it was, but you could imagine, say it was this time of year. Today's a mild day, but somebody that was a brother or sister in this church came and was on your doorstep completely naked and hungry. What would you do? Brother Warmed and Filled said, have a nice day. Thanks for stopping by. Okay, that's not real faith. Amen. That's not real faith. Goodbye. No. So he failed the test. And then we had Brother Faith with no works. That's the second one there. Big blank line. Faith with no works. And that was the one who simply walked around and said, yeah, I have faith. I have faith. I know what the Bible says about faith. I have faith. And James said, me too. Watch me. And you'll be able to see my faith by my works. You say you have faith? I'll tell you this, I'll show you my faith. And that's, so Brother Faith with no works, he didn't pass the test either. Then we had Brother Abraham, who offered up Isaac. Did his faith pass the test? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay? He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Okay? So James concludes by calling his last, and no doubt an odd witness. Will Sister Rahab please take the stand? Okay? So we're going to look at this character, Rahab. Okay? And we'll look, and we have some cross-references here. We'll look at some of the cross-references, but I hope that you'll look those up on your own time as well. Number one, Roman numeral number one, we're going to look at the life of Rahab. The life of Rahab. So go with me, hold your place there in James, and go with me back to Joshua. Joshua, the sixth book of the Bible, is Joshua. Chapter number two. And you remember here, Israel was getting ready to go into the promised land. And they came to that incredibly walled city, that fortress known as Jericho. And if you've been in Sunday school any length of time, you know the story of Jericho. It's told in Joshua chapter 6 how they walked around Jericho, and then they walked around Jericho, and then they walked around Jericho, and they did it. And on the seventh day, they walked around seven times, blew the trumpets, and what man could not do with all his armies, God did with one breath, and the walls fell flat. Or as the old Negro spiritual says, or the walls came tumbling down. Amen. Jericho. Praise the Lord. But something happened before that. God sent spies to search out Jericho. And in chapter 2 of Joshua, verse number 1, look at it. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab. So what was Rahab's life? She's referred to five times. Five times she is referred to by her title, Rahab the Harlot. Okay? We're all adults in here. Rahab was a woman who sold her body to men for money. That's what she was. That was her life. That was her livelihood. There, by the way, there are liberal Bible scholars that try to make her an innkeeper. That's why I put the two words down there that are used. We have the Hebrew word, and it's pronounced zana, and it means to commit adultery, not to run an inn. It means to commit adultery. Okay, and then the Greek word, which is used in Hebrews 11:31 and James 2:25, is the word porne, from which we get our word pornography. Okay, and it means a strumpet, harlot, or, and this is a Bible word too, the word whore. Okay, so that was Rahab's life. Okay, now again, and we're going to look at it. Anybody who's gotten saved, if you got saved at 5 years old or 6 years old or 16 years old, you got saved by the grace of God. And it takes just as much grace to save my little boy as it did to save me at 23 years old. Amen. So Rahab, the life of Rahab. Secondly, we're in Joshua. Let's look at the faith of Rahab. Of course, in Hebrews 11:31, it talks about Rahab's faith. By faith, Rahab. Okay? Let's look at Rahab's faith. And it's very interesting to look at Rahab's faith because it, each one of our faith takes on the same qualities. It goes through the same process. Look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 10. Here is Rahab talking to the spies. Verse 8 says, "And before they laid down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." The first involving part of Rahab's faith is the Word of God. Number one, the Word of God. She heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea. Now, and this is just wonderful. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, there wasn't, I don't believe Rahab had a copy of the Pentateuch. I don't believe she had Deuteronomy, Brother Ken, or she was reading. I believe, and this is why I have the other reference there, the other reference is 2 Timothy 2:9. You know what that says? The Word of God is not bound. So here was this woman in a very dishonorable profession, and yet God brought the Word to her. The Word of God's not bound, folks. Amen. God, I think it was Brother Rice that used to say, God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. Yeah. Amen? And so the Word of God here. Secondly, in verse 9, it says, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you this land, and that your terror is fallen upon us." Not only the Word of God, but the fear of God. We would call that today conviction. You know why for a lot of years in fundamental Baptist churches there was a lot of shallow conversions and still are? No conviction. And I'm with my friend Don Green 100% on that. No conviction, no conversion. You've got to be convicted of your sin. You have to know that you need a Savior and want Him. And so she said, your terror is falling upon us. Then thirdly, in verses 10 and 11, it's, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God, in heaven above and in earth belief." Number three there, belief in God. Belief in God. She heard about God. She feared God. And you know what she did? She believed Him. She said, "Your God is God." Okay? By the way, that's faith. Amen? That's faith. And that's Rahab's faith. So the life of Rahab. Secondly, the faith of Rahab. Number three, the works of Rahab. The works of Rahab. We'll give you the first one here. It's in Hebrews, and then we're in Joshua, so we'll look at the ones in Joshua. The first thing she did was she received the spies. Hebrews 11:31 tells us that Rahab received the spies. Okay? They came in, and they were spying out the land, and she received them in, said, come in. Secondly, Joshua 2:4 says there, and the woman took the two men and hid them. And thus there came men unto me, and I wist not whence they were. She hid the spies. She not only received the spies, she hid the spies. Now, there's always been a controversy on, did God approve of Rahab's lie? Let me just tell you, no, he does not. No, he does not approve of lying. He doesn't, okay? It's simple. It's just that we forget that Rahab was someone who was of a dishonorable profession and had just placed her faith in God. Are you the Christian today that you were 50 years ago, or did you make a few mistakes along the way? Let's give Rahab a little grace, okay? Let's give Rahab a little grace. So no, God doesn't approve of lying. Of course not. He said, thou shalt not commit false witness. Okay? So, but we see there, she received the spies. She hid the spies. Go down to Joshua chapter 2, verse 25. Oh, I'm sorry. That's James 2:25. Forgive me. Just stay there. She sent the spies out safely. It says it right in our text there. James chapter 2, verse 25. Says she sent out the spies. See then how that works. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. She sent them out a different way. And then lastly, she not only received the spies, she hid the spies, she sent the spies, but she obeyed the spies. She obeyed the spies. You're there in Joshua chapter 2. Look at verse 18. Here's the word from the spies. It said, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. Oh my. If you like preaching on the scarlet thread from Genesis to Revelation, it's all Jesus. Amen. The scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren, all thy father's household, home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. Does that remind you of another time in Israel's history? When they said, death is going to pass through this night, and everybody with the blood on the doorposts and the lintels will be safe inside the house. Here they said, if you want, listen, if they're important to you, make sure they're in your house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Amen. And he says there, and we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in thy house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath. Thou hast made us swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Jump over to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 21. It says, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and all her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they did put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which sent out to spy out Jericho. So she obeyed the spies. They said, look, bind the scarlet line and be quiet, and you'll be safe. Very interesting. You know, we are required to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's obedience. Amen. Most important part of a successful Christian life, you know what it is? Obedience. Learning to obey. Obeying God. Amen. So she obeyed the spies. So the life of Rahab, the faith of Rahab in the Word of God, the fear of God, belief of God, the works of Rahab. She received the spies. She hid the spies. She sent the spies out safely. She obeyed the spies. And then lastly, back to James chapter 2. Go back to James chapter 2. The contrast of Rahab. The contrast of Rahab. Okay, what's the point of James bringing Rahab into this conversation of justification? Okay? The contrast is not the supposed conflict with faith and works. That's what a lot of people, they make something that the Bible does not say. They say, well, James believes in faith, or James believes in justification by works, and Paul believes in justification by faith. And I hope that we have put that to bed in these six lessons. Paul is dealing vertically with how we're justified before God. James is dealing horizontally with how we're justified before men. That's not the contrast here, okay? Not the supposed conflict with faith and works. Works complement faith. Works complement faith. They're part of it, okay? The contrast is between true faith and lip service faith. That's what he's contrasting here. And listen, if you've been saved any length of time, you have met some lip service Christians. I have met some lip service Christians. Can I say this? I don't want to stand up here and say holier than thou. I think at some points in my Christian life, I've been a lip service Christian. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That he says, you say you're mine and that's how you act. That's how you deal with things. Amen. I appreciate the Holy Spirit's teaching us there. But the contrast is between true faith and lip service faith, which is like a corpse without a spirit, dead. That's what he says there in verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Dead. I love the story of Rahab because there is a rest of the story.
Yes, there is.
Oh, and it's a great story. You're going to start reading it in these coming days. If you read those genealogies, I think of the one in Matthew especially. And Abraham begat Isaac and Isaac begat Jacob. Sometimes we read those and we... Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You run into a man named Salmon who marries a woman named Rahab the... And she gives birth to a little boy named Boaz. Forgive me, I don't often stand on pews, but I'm gonna. Who made it his business to protect women. Little woman named Ruth. Where do you think Boaz learned that? I think he learned it on Mama's knee. I think he learned it on Mama's knee. I love that part of the story. You know why? Because she was a harlot. Yes, she was. You know what? There are things in your past that people could accuse you of. And I like what Spurgeon said. He said, don't ever be upset when a brother thinks ill of you because you are far worse than he could ever think of you.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
You know what? Rahab did have a scarlet past. But you know what she has now? A spotless future. Because she trusted God. Father, we love you. Thank you for this series on faith and works and this great passage of Scripture, Father. We pray.